Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam. You are listening to the Asma'ul Nabi program with myself, Muhammad Bam, and online we have is Mawlana Muhammad Ali from Madrid. Mawlana, Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Mawlana, how is the weather and everything?
Alhamdulillah, weather is improving after this cold spell we had. Shukr Allah Pak, getting back into the normal weather what we're supposed to have.
Now we can get into the program.
جزاكم الله الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجعلناهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and the choicest blessings of Allah Ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to continue showering His blessings upon us. Presently we are enjoying the honorable and blessed month, days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days which have been mentioned in the Quran and in the Hadith, which is undoubtedly also a blessing of Allah for us to be present and be part of these Mubarak days. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of fulfilling the rites of these Mubarak Ayyam and getting the blessing of it, and most importantly using it to come closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the Mubarak names, the blessed names of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and behind every name are numerous, miraculous messages and lessons for those who want to follow this way of life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the name that is being discussed at this point in time is Al-Imam, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an Imam and a leader of his people and of the Ummah. And he served as an Imam and as a leader in different capacities. We discussed some of those aspects, and we concluded last week on the aspect of a leader as a true statesman and as a ruler. And one of the most outstanding things of any ruler and any leader is for him to address the lot of his subjects, especially when it comes to the matters of their survival, their security, their livelihood, etc. And we find that there isn't a better example to be found than that of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who gave priority to this aspect of leadership, to raise and to elevate the less fortunate people and to alleviate their difficulty and suffering. Today we continue with another aspect totally different, which we had made mention about some time back, that when a person is a leader of his people, then one aspect of leadership is also how he sees to the security of his people and how he combats the various threats that might be coming from those people who have chosen to attack you. So in other words, those people who make you their enemy and those people who decide to oppose you. Obviously, if they have got a hatred and a dislike for you, they do not like you, and they are at all times looking for ways and means to try and overcome you, then you cannot sit back and not do anything about it. You have to be very proactive. And as a leader, the entire responsibility of the flock that is under you is your responsibility. So what you have to do is keep in mind how best to protect your people. In other words, we are talking of military strategy that is needed for you to ensure that your enemy does not come and destroy you and take over your area and impose their own evil and ungodly ways, if that is a better word to use. So we find that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a leader, also was a military leader. And once again, those who have studied the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard have found that there is no one who has produced such military capability as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has not demonstrated such military capability like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before we actually speak about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a unique military leader, let us just go back and look at his background. Who was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he became a ruler, before he became a statesman, even before he was conferred with the high office of prophethood and nubuwah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born an orphan. So already we know that he was born and growing up without the support of a father. And in a very young age we find that he was herding sheep, and he was a shepherd, like all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam. Later on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved on, and under the care and custody of his uncle, Abu Talib, he became a tradesman. So he was born an orphan, then he was looking after sheep. You can call him as a shepherd at some point in his life, like all the other Anbiya were. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said he was that. And then he moved on, and he started learning the various practices of good trade and business. And thereafter, at some point in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced the prophethood of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he became a da'i and a nabi. And he started inviting the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the point at which his difficulties started. He now, by virtue or because of his prophethood and invitation towards Allah ta'ala, made a lot of enemies. Not made them, people chose to be his enemies. And in his own hometown, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not spared. He was persecuted, he was harassed to the point that he moved on to Madinah Munawwara. This is a very brief thing. And then when he was in Madinah, he was not spared and he was not left in peace there also. He and his followers were continuously faced with the problem and the challenge of repelling aggressors and enemies who were in some way or the other coming with the intention of vanquishing and annihilating once and for all the Muslim force and the Muslim nation that was living in Madinah Munawwara. Now, what was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's job at that time? He was a Nabi inviting the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was teaching them that what was correct, and he was preventing and prohibiting them from that what was evil. He was teaching them the way of truth. He was teaching them goodness, justice, and he was teaching them peace. So that is his job was. He never ever was trained to be a fighter or a military person. He did not go to military school, or you find all these Boy Scouts things that start off at an early age. And he was not involved in any other kind of school where you are taught military tactics and so forth. He was in Madinah Munawwara, and now he was faced with this prospect. So as an orphan who was not involved in any kind of military activity, he was now forced to take measures to ensure the security of the people of Madinah Munawwara and himself, as well as to ensure that the deen spread in a smooth manner beyond Madinah Munawwara, but at the same time to wave and to combat any of the aggression that was definitely going to come from the different quarters of the enemies who had decided to make Islam and the Muslims their target. So we find Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was forced into the struggle. And the few Sahaba and the few supporters that he had with him were faced so many times against, or faced with combined strength of experienced, they were faced with the combined strength of experienced enemies and fighters. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the noble Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in faced them with determination and skill, subhanallah, and they defeated them on all fronts. Now how did this happen? This was by the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an amirul mu'mineen, and he was a leader and an imam on the military side and on the battlefield. And he demonstrated such unique as well as unparalleled military strategies. He demonstrated such wisdom and skill in the planning and the execution and the completion of his war plans. Such strategical moves and such tactical maneuvers that till today no one could ever come up with them. And when the people study it, they just marvel at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's skills as a military leader. Not one who went out to look for fights, not one who went out to conquer anybody, but one who was out to spread the deen of Allah Ta'ala, and the one who was faced with continuous onslaughts from outside. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's war plans, it is mentioned by those who have studied them, were very simple, they were very practical, but yet very comprehensive and realistic, and always they were according to the requirements of the time and the place. So they knew who they were fighting, they knew what was the requirements at that time, and they were also aware of the location, what kind of military planning was needed there. All this was done by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without prior knowledge and experience as a warrior or as a military leader. All this was divinely taught to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like everything else. He was an Nabiul Ummi. So this Ummiyat, Ummiyat, that means not having knowledge beforehand, also extended to his experience in the battlefield, where he had no experience and now suddenly he had to go ahead. And his plans were such, they were very easy to understand, like the rest of the deen that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. Very readily adjustable and changeable without any difficulty according to the changing situation in the theater of war. And we are going to look at a few examples of the various battles in which Sayyidina Rasulullah participated and how he maneuvered his forces and how he defeated the enemy that were out specifically to annihilate him and the deen of Islam. Battle of Uhud, we all know the very famous story, inshallah we'll go into it there, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in the very early stages of the battle positioned his men in such a way and employed such military strategy and tactics that the enemy was overcome. The enemy was totally taken by surprise. They had come with their battle plan, and they had positioned themselves at the Mount of Uhud in such a manner that they were hoping that in a little while they are going to overcome the Muslimin. But in a little while they were taken by surprise, and we find that the Muslimin overpowered them. But we know that there was an error of judgment by the noble Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi majma'in, where the group of the Sahaba that were posted on a specific point, on a specific mount to guard the rear flank of the Muslimin, an error of judgment made them change their ways, as a result of which the Muslimin suffered a temporary setback. But what we are talking about is that even in that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately was able to move his army and his warriors in such a way that quickly that matter was also sorted out with the greatest amount of skill and ingenuity. And again by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had no prior experience. And this was an element of surprise where suddenly the enemy attacked from behind. But even that did not let the Muslimin be overpowered. Yes, they suffered a setback, and they were the mu'mineen who had become martyrs, and that was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. But in a little while, the Muslimin were able to repel the enemy from that flank also and drive them away and save the Muslim body as a whole. And the kuffar did not get an opportunity to go further and to in any way wipe out the Muslim forces. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the different battles, he prepared his war plans very, very meticulously. And in some places we find that this was also part of his strategy, that he exercised extreme secrecy. No one even knew what the battle was going to be about or what his intention was going to be. To such an extent, it is said that there were times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even inform the very closest friends about what he's going to be doing, whereas in the case of the Battle of Badr and also the conquest of Mecca. So he suddenly put his plan, which he had in mind beforehand, he put it into practice and into action when the time came, and this was so effective in destroying the morale of the enemy and breaking their will down. Before the battle had begun already, the enemy was already scattered sometimes, and the enemy was puzzled as to what is going to happen now. And this is one of the very important ways of how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam outsmarted the enemy. And they were always, his plans were always devised. One of the most outstanding features of his plans was they were devised strictly in accordance with the war situation. There was no other political move at that time that he looked at. He said, this is a war situation and how we can outwit and outsmart our enemy. And nothing else influenced him at that time. And in this way we find that he overcame them, because his main object at that time was to stop the aggression of the enemy in the most effective way, with the least and with the minimum loss to his army, to loss of life, and to the general Muslimin as such. So this was one of the ways that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been studied to have carried out his military expedition and his military plans. It is said that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam organized his offensives in different battles, he always organized it in a manner that was much better than the enemy, more successful than the enemy. And he always had the element of secrecy in his plans. So nobody knew exactly what is going to come next. And also, when you are a military leader, you have to use your forces in the most rational way, in such a manner that there is minimum loss to your people. So we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam employed his forces rationally in such a manner that throughout the war there was minimum loss to men and material. And at the same time he maintained reasonable security and such efficiency in his military operations that the enemy also could not do that. And in this way also he had the upper ground, as you say, the upper hand against his enemy. And we discussed already the element of surprise, that not forget the enemy knowing what he's going to do. Many times the Muslimin also who were with him did not know what is his next move going to be. And suddenly Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to just instruct that we are going to go this way and we're going to do that. And at that point in time, everybody just realized what his plan was. And speed, there was another thing. The speed with which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam executed his plans, so there was the element of surprise and the element of speed. And in a little while, he very successfully overcame the enemy in major as well as in minor campaigns. They were caught totally unprepared. Another thing which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used a lot was the psychological factor in a manner that was very, very effective, that his enemy did not know whether they were coming or whether they were going. So in other words, just to use out-psych, as we say, to psych your enemy out in a manner, also is a very, very plus and a positive factor for a military leader. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used psychological warfare many times on them in such a manner these people didn't know what was happening. We will give an example of that, inshallah, as we go along. Besides this, there were always this fear of various tribes being incited by other forces, and there was a possibility of them coming from time to time and attacking, you know, harassing the mu'mineen and trying to weaken them from different angles. But we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was aware of that also. So he organized intelligence services. He had his intelligence men who were keeping their eyes open, who were traveling the various areas out of Medina Munawwara. And he had commando units that were carrying out patrols, and they used to be on the guard and on alert for the various targets that were made and how the enemy were planning against them. It was this that made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very, very wise beforehand, that the Jews of Khaybar, for example, were planning to come and attack. So before they could attack, they were still thinking about how they're going to do that. The next morning, we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba are standing at the doors of Khaybar, which we'll discuss as we go along. And the most important thing is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with him the most dedicated and committed band of warriors, if you want to call them, or you want to call them the most committed and dedicated group of soldiers that was so sincere in whatever they were doing. They had so much of inspiration from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this spirit of inspiration had created such confidence in them that no one could withstand them when they came on the battlefield. So they were inspired by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were inspired by the teachings of the Quran. They were inspired by the promises of the reward in this world and the hereafter. They were inspired by pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this created such a confidence in them that when they were on the battlefield, there was no turning around. They were looking for the opportunity how they can enter into the greatest realms of forgiveness and of acceptance and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were willing, they were willing to do anything that was needed at that time. All they needed was a command and an order to be issued by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they would have jumped into the sea if it meant. They would have climbed the highest of mountains and they would have jumped off from the highest of cliffs to make sure that the cause and the mission that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come with them to fulfill must be fulfilled. And we find the Quran Kareem has made mention about these qualities of the noble Sahaba. This is the quality of the noble Sahaba. Again, the munafiqeen who do not like the Sahaba must listen to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing them. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. That, O you, the warriors and the fighters of the army of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have such hopes from Allah which the enemy don't have. So in other words, Allah knew that these Sahaba's iman and their conviction in the promises of the Quran and of the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so strong that this had spurred them on to withstand any battle challenge coming their way and to overcome any of the cliques and any of the campaigns of the kuffar that were being targeted or directed against them. So yeah, Allah has praised them in the Quran. And if a person has got all these military skills which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, and if he had this kind of warriors and this kind of soldiers which the Quran has made mention of, then obviously this is a recipe for nothing but success. Allah Ta'ala has made mention elsewhere in the Quran also that إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah Ta'ala is talking about the believers here, that Allah has bought out the lives and the wealth of the believers in lieu of Jannah. So this Sahaba already knew that they are going to be purchasing their Jannah in lieu of their lives and their wealth. And that being the case, they did not stop anywhere and they did not withhold any of their resources or their life when it came to carrying out the commands and orders of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this in a nutshell is a brief introduction to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a military leader. We've taken various aspects. Now, to just expand on it, inshallah, in the coming weeks, we will look at the various elements of warfare that had been employed by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will make reference to various incidents as well as various major battles, and that will give us an insight of what kind of an imam and what kind of a leader he was when he was on the battlefield. Uma alayna illa al-balagh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah Mawlana for that inspiring program. Do join us next week at the same time with the Asma'un Nabi program with Mawlana Muhammad Ali. For myself, Muhammad Bam. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.